In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I guess there has to come a time when we cease being the center of the universe. Not easy to do. But we have two examples today in the Holy Scriptures. One is Peter, and the other is Zechariah. We know that Peter was a professional fisherman, and he knew the waters of the Sea of Galilee like the back of his hand. He knew the depths and the shallows. He knew where the fish were breeding. He knew where the older fish were swimming. He knew the place very, very well. So when Jesus instructs Peter to cast his net to a particular part in the sea, you can well imagine that Peter's a bit perplexed. This is a carpenter teaching a fisherman how to fish. It doesn't make any sense at all. Not to Peter, at least. But we know that Peter, deep down inside, there was something going on there, and he said, okay, I'll do as you say, Lord. Almost like, whatever, Lord. And we know the results. We can well imagine the expression on Peter's face when he saw this humongous volume of fish being hauled in. Not in his wildest dreams would he have thought to fill his net with that many fish. But that is what happened that day. And we can well imagine that maybe at one point Peter got a little more humble, and maybe also thinking to himself, this is someone who I have to follow. We have Zechariah, the high priest of the temple, giving sacrifice that he gave once a year. And the angel Gabriel approaches him and announces something to this old man, that he would be a father. Now, Zechariah, being an old man, knows this is probably an impossibility. And we know that the angel Gabriel struck him dumb until Baptist was born, until he was named. Basically, as a period of silence before this chain of events would unfold that would point to our salvation. Zechariah thought he knew, but he didn't. And it is there that he stood in wonderment, sat in wonderment, lived in wonderment until the time his son was born. And he knew, at that point, I believe, that he was not the center of the universe, that he was not the center of all things, that there was someone who was in charge beyond his comprehension. And it's very interesting. We have in our society today an increase of self-help books. I'm not demonizing self-help books. They can be of aid and help to people. But I'm also saying, along with that, is that anxiety is also rising in our society. And we wonder sometimes, with our focus in our society of our self-focus, what it is doing to us as a culture. And it seems that the frightening thing is that it becomes all up to me. And so that becomes a very scary prospect. Now, it doesn't mean that we just sit back and let God do whatever he wants to do for us. Of course, we do our part. We work, we raise families, we do all the things that life is all about. But we also know, and the scripture mentions this time and time and time again, that in a very real way, there is a relationship that is being offered to us every minute, every second of the day. They call it synergy in our spirituality, where we do our part and God works in us to complete what we are doing. and it can be at any task that we have. That is the promise that God gives us. I think the bottom line of the epistle readings and the gospel today is all about relationship. You know, it's everything. You know, it's doctrine, our tradition, our holy scriptures, all are in the light of this relationship. It all points to it. And the temptation, the tempter, and you know, we're in spiritual warfare on a daily basis. The tempter will come into our life, he'll kind of slither into our life, and tell us in no uncertain terms that it's up to you to do this. You're the only one. You're it. There's no one to help you but you. And that's the ultimate temptation. And we know that that temptation breeds fear, and then that fear breeds our falling away from God, because all of a sudden we are drifting away from God in our at times self-centeredness. When God is calling me back and saying, wait, I love you, come back to me, so we can work together in not only your salvation, but in your daily life. And that is the promise that Christ gives us. I am with you always, always. Now we're so used to these verses in Scripture that after a while, it happens to me sometimes, it just kind of goes, because we're so used to these very powerful sayings of Jesus. We take them for granted sometimes. But my invitation to you, brothers and sisters, is to listen to what Jesus is saying to us and to make those words of Christ our own. So do not be afraid, I am with you. And all the other things that Jesus is telling us, we can abide in him, rest in him. And that takes an amount of discipline, because our Lord calls us every day to show up so that we can have a relationship with him. And that is where he strengthens us, vitalizes us, gives us wisdom, enlightens us, guides us, points the way to us to experience life at its full. But it's extremely important that we show up. The length of time is not as important as what I bring into those moments with the Lord, in which my heart meets the Lord's heart and we become one. And then from there, I know that it is not me who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that is the assurance that we have. And it is so, when we wrap our brain around this reality, it is totally awesome and totally encouraging. Because, I mean, when you think about it, it is absolutely awesome what the Lord is offering us at every hour, every moment. And so today, as we are together also as one church, as we worship together as a one people, we are also supported by one another through Christ working through us together. So it's beautiful. It's not just me and God here. It's us and God, working together, praying together, enjoying each other's company together. All these things make this all about a relationship that is totally life-giving and which sets us free from ourselves, who at times can be the greatest tyrant of them all. And so let us just release ourselves to the Lord and let the Lord do with us as he wills, because his will is always that of love and wisdom. We may, at times in our desires, will something, but most sometimes, more often than not, it becomes second best. When we turn to the Lord, he gives us the best. And sometimes that could happen through adversity, through sickness, through dark days of our life, and all those things that are negative or seemingly negative. It is those moments that our Lord is working his greatest work in us, because he is bringing us close to himself. He's teaching us, strengthening us, and have us grow in the Spirit. He says, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross. That's the deal. But it's not, we're not taking up the cross by ourselves here. But the cross serves a purpose. It's a sign of healing, love, and victory. And so when we do that, whatever thing is happening in our life, God is always, in a sense, loving us into life. And it's always death follows resurrection. That is the flow of our Christian life. We have our deaths, we have our resurrection. In our deaths, the Lord is with us. He is holding us, embracing us. In our resurrection moments, we are rejoicing of the relationship that God has with us, who continues to lead us into life. And so let us commend ourselves, our body, soul, and spirit, to the love of God, that he will do with us as he wills, and trusting, and maybe praying for this every single day of our life. Lord, help me trust in you. Help me have confidence in your love and in your power to transform anything into new life. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.